Jim Joyce, we're back at it
Hey,
again. Third
ah,
week
look
in
at
a
this.
row.
Third week in a row.
Consistency.
We're
My
rocking
health coach would say consistency is key to your health. And
it.
the shot is consistently good for my mental health personally.
Awesome. So I see you're in Barcelona, and
Yeah.
so we'll tee this up.
Still here. Yeah, just heading to US next week, actually, next Tuesday. So starting in Charlotte and then heading to the ATA to see
Okay.
Edmond Johnson and team and many others. So looking forward to they're really putting me to work, moderating a couple of panels. Yeah, so excited for that.
Cool. So we are, like I told you, we have to, when we start the show, we have to introduce ourselves. This is Eugene
Oh,
and Jim
oh,
at the Shot of
oh,
Digital Health.
oh! Thank you. Come on, man. This is supposed to be meticulously unproduced. Are you producing
Exactly.
me?
Exactly. I'm
All right.
producing
So, Eugene here as a co-host of this wonderful show, the Shot of Digital Health Therapy, that we come back to you every Wednesday, almost.
Awesome. Well done. All right. So what's in the news? What's in the news we want to cover before we let our fantastic guest in here?
I mean, there's so much, and yet I don't follow much of it. I think we were texting about one interesting one, and I don't know the details. You kind of looked it up on DocLib, but I don't know if they raised or this was just announced. There's $6 billion valuation, one or the other. Yeah.
No, I had heard of them, but I didn't know a lot about them. But I saw that actually the we had Mimi on here from Sifted. Remember from Sifted, the Financial
Yeah,
Times, the FT
that's
related
right.
newsletter.
Well, they own SIP. Yeah, SIP is owned by FT, I think. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah,
Yeah.
they had a piece. They had two interesting pieces, and I hadn't followed a ton about their $6 billion valuation of. Of DocLib, which is dominating in France, and they kind of came out of the pandemic and were chosen by the French government as the, I guess the main kind of medical, kind of primary care physician provider. I don't know much about them. And then they talked about how they were trying to tackle Germany and had to revisit it, and they did an acquisition in Italy. So it was kind of I think we've covered that in the past. It's kind of interesting. How do you go from one market to the next?
Yeah, and who is I mean, and right here in Spain there was Dr. Alia, right? Aline, our friend used to work there, and Frederick, who is the founder, and they got acquired. I'm actually looking that up, by a Polish company, I think, Doc Planner, right? So they're sort of in direct competition. It's kind of an interesting topic, right? Because I think part of this is, outside of let's call it telemedicine companies, right? Scaling, I forgot that there's these symbols. Scaling across EU has been very challenging. That's why a lot of the startups kind of start here and then they try to hop over to US just for a contiguous market. And I think with DocLib, let's see where it goes. Maybe we can even get somebody from their
Dr.
team
Lib,
on. Look it up. But anyway,
cool.
what else? What else? There was a.
Yeah, no, I think I was talking to you about I always follow these guys, but you said you tried them before, the Zoe kind of
Yeah, yeah.
microbiome. I always follow their YouTube videos, so there was some, kind of corporate restructuring going on with them, but I don't have anything else, man. I don't have any other news.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
It's interesting. I think our friend Vishal, who've been, since the beginning trying to get on the show, Vishal Gulati, I mean, we're shaming you right now because we're not cool enough for you. But I think he was one of the early investors. Early on, they had a wait list, and we sort of got in the queue, and both Marina and I tried it. Again, to be very frank, this was very early on. So the UX, the experience, there was kind of multiple platforms, synchronization. I didn't really get much out of it aside. So I'm sure they've improved tremendously since then. So be curious, George's comments as we tag him. But anyway, we've
Awesome.
already been
We got to move on.
riffing for 5 minutes, looks like our guest, who I'm assuming you'll make the little background intro, but
Intro.
I'm letting
Awesome.
Fana in.
Yeah, so I'm super super pumped about this one. So we've got Sana, I'm going to mispronounce it, but Aljamovic, joining us from Sweden, who is a force of nature. Is a force of nature. She is. We met her on the health tech tour, and I heard you met her as well before. And I just see her. She's launching new products. She's being featured on all these different stations and podcasts. So delighted to have her joining. Sana, are you with us? Okay, that's kind of our technology suits to just.
You better find another newsworthy article very quick.
So I think Sana's trying to get in. There she is.
Ah, here we go. It works. Technology works.
Pleasure to be with you this evening.
Hey, Sana, how are you?
Hi. I'm doing great. Spring has finally arrived here in cold Sweden.
Are you actually in Stockholm or are you outside?
Yes, I live in a suburb of Stockholm. Okay. Very kids friendly. I have a 4-year-old son, so.
Fantastic.
Enjoying every moment. It's the past the terrible twos, but into the crazy fours or. Before we go on into your full introduction, can you, because Jim was, I think, butchering your last name, and I get that a lot too with mine. Exactly. It took me most of my life to figure out how to spell it. So maybe you can introduce yourself with the full, so we all know how to pronounce it as well.
Yes, definitely. So my name is Sana Lajmović. I'm originally from Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Okay.
That's the tricky name, last name at least, but I've lived in Sweden for the last 20 years.
And you're like 22 now, or like?
No, I wish, but I do feel like 22 at times. I do actually.
Exactly.
Keeping that young spirit alive.
And you guys had met before. I heard you on the chat.
I feel like we've been connected through when I was still at a big pharma, and I feel like we've met, but I'm usually pretty good with faces, just horrible with names.
No, but I've been in the life science for the last 50 years, and it's not always when you meet big corps that they're always so startup friendly, but Eugene really was at that time. So that's why I remember you. You were just very, very helpful and almost felt a bit like yourself was dying to really get away from the big corpse as well.
I did it.
You did. So yeah. And then my boyfriend does digital health. So
awesome.
Okay, well, us back, right? Like you started 15 years, been doing life sciences. Rewind all the way back. We got time.
Who is Sana? That's the question that we were putting to you.
Well, Sana is a very driven, very ambitious, socially very active and curious person who, since I graduated, really, really decided that I want to work in improving people's health and well-being. And the reason for this is because I grew up with a father who was pre-diabetic, and I saw him deteriorate in his health and well-being, and did not get a lot of support from the healthcare system, only to eventually develop type 2 diabetes, full-blown type 2 diabetes. And I just figured there must be a better way to come in more proactively to manage your health and to actually stop this progression of becoming type 2 diabetic or developing obesity or overweight issues.
That was it. Maybe even take it back. So you obviously grew up in Sweden.
I came to Sweden as a refugee due to the war in former Yugoslavia when I was 5 years old.
Okay. Wow. And so, but did you study, like, in terms of getting into this area? Because you're a co-founder of Sigrid, obviously.
Yeah, he's a professor in physiology. I'm just a simple economist with a bachelor's degree. I always joke I'm the least educated person in the company. But I have a PhD in execution.
Yeah, but the the health economics of it all does matter, right? And I think that's actually part of the challenge, that, you know, we always pass the buck down the road on preventative health. And so I think your background, and again, I don't know how deep you go into the modeling and the financials, but I love your comment on PhD on execution.
So we've got a picture of you. So you've ended up in Sweden. You've got this exposure to your, you know, obviously your dad trying to deal with being pre-diabetic and then eventually diabetic in there. And then, so was this the first company that you got involved with? You found this partnership through your colleague, or give us some of that?
Yeah. So I was 23 years old when I graduated. I went to New York. I was exposed to a lot of buzzing startups, Spotify and Klarna, which was still early days for them here in Sweden. Majority of my fellows at Stockholm School of Economics went into banking, consulting, and I wasn't intrigued by that. But I came to New York and I saw a lot of startups popping up, such as Zocdoc, which is also a digital healthcare company, by the way. And then I came back to Sweden and
I was saying that we should actually have Oliver on. That's going to be another interesting.
And his whole history of how, you know, you can order a pizza, you can order everything, but you couldn't, you know, book yourself and a physician. And I came back to Sweden and I was thinking I would love to start a company within healthcare, but in what area and how and why, you know. And I was lucky enough to expose myself to life science industry, to academia, to researchers, to small companies. And that's how I met my co-founder, Professor Tore Bengtsson. And that's what I always tell people. You can be an entrepreneur. You don't have to have the idea yourself. You can team up with someone who has the idea and sort of complement.
And that's our four-year-old.
Yeah.
This is the reality, guys, right? For a working mom.
Yeah.
I hope the four-year-old is... Look at that. Wait, hold on a second. Did we just have our youngest guest on the show ever?
Yeah,
we gotta celebrate this moment. Wait, should I get some whiskey?
This is how you go viral, guys. It's either
That's it.
What do they say? They say boys wreck your house and girls wreck your head. That's the expression.
I thought he was bringing your whiskey, Shauna.
Exactly.
Well, you don't know what I've spiced the tea with, right?
Exactly. Okay. So you were kind of connected into universities and then met your co-founder. And then how did that, did you know, maybe give us a little bit, how did that happen a little bit
more? Well, the whole thing, so when I grew up and I saw my dad struggle with these issues, and he didn't like to talk about it because he's also a doctor.
Okay.
So he found it embarrassing being chronically sick. And I didn't really, you know, fully grasp what the disease was. He kind of downplayed it. Then I came to the States and I just saw the magnitude of obesity and overweight issues. And when I met Professor Tore, and he told me he developed this, you know, brilliant new technology, which is a unique biomaterial that's able to entrap digestive enzymes in your gut and thereby reduce the caloric uptake and smoothen out your blood sugar and lipid curves. And I started looking into, you know, data. Well, how many people can use this? And I realized that pre-diabetes, that's 500 million people. It's not just my dad. And then there's another 500 million people with type 2 diabetes and, you know, obesity and overweight issues. There's billions of people. So I realized there's a huge, huge number of people that are afflicted. And if we could bring, you know, to market something that's safe and effective and non-pharmaceutical, that can come in at an earlier stage and sort of prevent the onset of these diseases, that will be quite remarkable.
Fantastic. So coming back, maybe explain to us like what is it? I remember you described it as a health tech platform. Yeah. Obviously, this is such a hot area right now with everything that's happening in weight prevention. So maybe
paradigm
just
shift.
For our millions of viewers, give us the Sigrid, kind of the secret of the Sigrid.
Yeah, so we have two products to date. One
Okay.
is our food supplement that's called glucose stabilizer, and it's used to help you balance out your blood sugar levels and help you with suppressing your appetite, reduce your bloating post eating fat or heavy carb-rich meals. And this is
Okay.
actually, we're selling this today, direct to consumers. And we started a couple of months ago and we've seen amazing traction. So we're selling
Fantastic.
UK, US, and now in Sweden.
Okay, awesome.
And then we have our medical device, which is an oral gel. And this is classified as a class 2B medical device here in Europe. And this is actually a product more for pre-diabetics diagnosed and type 2 diabetics that want to improve their long-term blood sugar levels and their body weight. And this is now in its fourth clinical study called the SHINE study, which is the
Okay.
world's largest ongoing study in pre-diabetics,
Okay.
enrolling
Wow.
300 patients across 27 clinics in three countries here in Europe.
Fantastic.
So, I was going to say, so I think we Jim and I always tried to. We're three. This is the third episode into the season, and I think so far we've mentioned AI and obesity slash GLPs on every one of them,
Once, yeah.
right? And so, talk to us a little bit about the science behind what you just showed us, right? And I know you got the PhD in execution, and you have a scientific co-founder, but and then the craze that you're seeing around the GLPs, and why, again, preventative, if what you just showed us is, yes, there's still molecules, still biological impact, but just kind of, I don't know, just I'll pause. You know where I'm going with this.
Yes, I totally understand you. I can tell you 5 years ago when I was out there raising money, I got turned down by investors that said they want to focus on cancer projects. There was
Whoever.
just no money in obesity. It's like, there were a couple of drugs who never made it, the Orlistat, Alice of this world, Xenical, that were supposed to be blockbusters, but never made it. So this was not an interesting area for investors. And then comes the Ozempic craze. And all investors, they're like sheep, right? Now they all want to get into this area. So we actually closed a fundraising round, which was heavily oversubscribed. But I
Congrats.
also know of people of entrepreneurs who are within this area and still were not able to ride on this wave. So I've been thinking a lot about that. If you have an asset which is in metabolic health, why haven't they been maybe as successful as we have Sigrid have been so far? And I think it's how you position yourself in this new paradigm shift. So we are not here to compete with GLP-1s. We are here to complement them. We are here for those 20% of patients which still cannot use them, or those type of patients who have side effects from it, or who see plateau in weight after being on them, and who maybe don't have access to it, or just don't want to be on a drug or an injection for the rest of their life. Maybe they reached their optimal weight loss with GLP-1s and now they want to just sustain it. And I think
Yeah.
that's where we come in, because our technology is sustainable and safe in that it acts locally in the gut. There's no systemic absorption into the bloodstream.
Okay.
And
And
Sana.
just going through the technology for a second. So you have the supplement and then you have the gel, and that's all built on the same technology platform.
Same platform, but different biome, slightly different biomaterials, different dosing, and of course, different formulations.
And how's it working again? You were described at the beginning, but just remind, yeah.
The way it works is that it's a white powder consisting of highly precisely engineered silica, and each particle is highly engineered to contain a certain porosity,
Okay.
surface chemistry, and it's micron-sized so as to prevent it from entering your bloodstream. And when you have a meal, your body releases amylase and lipase, two digestive enzymes which help break down complex carbohydrates and fats. And what basically happens is if you take our capsule or our gel in conjunction with your meal, these enzymes will, by diffusion, get entrapped into the pores of our particles. So there will be a mechanical barrier like a molecular sieve that prevents them from interacting with the food and breaking down the food into smaller constituents. And basically, the particles just leave the body naturally together with food. And what you're seeing immediately is that, and you can see this using a CGM, is that your blood sugar curve, you are reducing the peaks, it gets more smoother, your lipid curve as well, you feel fuller for longer. And if you're tracking your HbA1c, you will also see a decrease in long-term blood sugar.
Awesome. And then your dosing recommended, people take it during the course of the day, they take it right after they eat, or when do they?
Exactly. So we recommend 2 capsules per meal, 2 times a day. So 4 capsules in total per day.
Okay.
So, you know, we've been hearing quite a lot. People go on GLPs. It costs a lot of money. Some are covered, some employers are covering. You know, and then there's also individuals saying, well, I don't know if I want to take this forever, right? And I've now lost 20% of my weight or whatever
Exactly.
and do you see yourself working back to, you don't want to compete with the GLPs, but do you see yourselves working in conjunction to a certain extent as I want to taper off my GLPs to
Exactly.
reduce my cost? You know, can I start substituting? Have you guys worked together with, you know, have you done some studies around it? And the sustainability of the weight loss, because I mean, GLP's
No,
been around,
I
right,
think
already.
you're ahead of us there. You're absolutely correct. No, but because I mean the reason we started also looking more into how we could place ourselves in this new paradigm was because when we launched the glucose stabilizer, we saw so many people writing to us, and we started to divide all the questions that we got, and there were basically a lot of questions from people who were on GLP-1s, and either it was the access, there were shortages, so they couldn't get hold of them, so they were turning to other products, or they felt that after a certain while the weight had plateaued. So either it was okay, let's increase the dose or try something new. And third was the side effects that some, it's
They
very
couldn't tolerate.
tolerable, but it's still side effects for some people. There's still 20% who can't tolerate it. So those are the three reasons. And yes, of course, there was the cost as well that they couldn't afford them, especially in the United States. And we sort of forget in the United States, if you pay out of pocket, it's over $1,000 per month. It's not as affordable as it is here in Europe. It's much more expensive in the
But
United
even if
States.
it's not out of pocket, somebody still pays for it. It might still be discount, but again, right? It's still adding cost to the system.
And the
I'm
question is,
just.
will it get reimbursed? Will it get national coverage? I mean, that's what the whole
Yeah,
debate
what's
is about
happening?
right now
What,
in
you
the
know, it's funny.
US.
I was just back from Boston, and I talked to three people that were either on GLP-1s or coming off of GLP-1s or trying to access GLP-1s. It's like everyone's on them. Everyone's on these GLP-ones. Everyone's on them. Like you'd be surprised, you know.
But it's funny,
But
you know, to some, like I think there's no really stigma around it, but like I saw a buddy of mine also in US, and he's like, by the way, just see me, I lost some weight, but not on GLPs, just like that, just myself, you know. So it also has this like, I don't need the help kind of thing. I got it. But
Well,
so.
yeah, having managed, an injectable company for lots of years, injecting yourself on a frequency or a basis is not an easy thing, right? It's not a naturally intuitive. So people struggle to adhere, to the injection schedule. But in the States, what I was hearing was that I was hearing all those things. So it's like this whole idea of people getting to a certain weight but wanting to come off the injectable. That it actually is being covered in many cases under a lot of insurance plans, but you can't get access to the medication. So this huge, sorry, the supply of the
Shortage
medication. Yeah,
supply.
this,
And then
yeah.
they get all of these fake GLP-1s compounded, which actually are quite dangerous.
That's dangerous. Yeah.
That's all that's also risen. But Jim,
Yeah.
what do you say? Will they ever be able, because to reach the level of affordable cost of goods that's so that's doable for an oral, for a pill?
Yep.
I think
Well,
so personally.
I agree with Eugene. I think so.
Damn
I
it, you
think
always agree with me, Jim. Stop it. I disagree.
Well,
Once in a while.
She asked me, Eugene. She asked me, Eugene. But
it's still injectable, you know. Yeah, so it's still, I'm still thinking, you know, unless they get the oral pill soon out there, which might happen in a couple of years, and who knows how effective that will be. But injectables will always be more expensive. You know, it's much harder to produce this type of product. So
yeah,
I'd be keen to hear what she's saying.
Yeah, I think the cost. I mean, this is such a phenomenon. Mm. The production levels. I mean, you can produce these injectables. Like once they get to this level of volumes, they can produce them very cost effectively. So I think and there's enough competition in the marketplace. I also think the insurance companies in the U.S. are going to cover it. You know, they're going to cover it to a high degree because, you know, the downstream weight loss impact on cardiovascular
that they'll be able to generate.
Yet, so the data and you have such a phenomenon. I mean, like now Novo Nordisk is the most valuable company in the world on the back of these things. So I think the verdict is out. These things are going to get covered. Yeah. The costs are going to come down. It's going to be hugely competitive. But I think my last comment is your strategy of they're not the solution for everything, right? They are not the solution for everything. So other complementary opportunities, you know, like even like say, actually the two people we have on the podcast here, right? Like Eugene with your coach and Sana with Sigrid, you know, this is a great complement to what's going out here. So in the tolerability on these things, tolerability on injections and tolerability.
But don't you think, I mean, also when they studied it for a longer period, the whole thing with the not preserving lean muscle mass, then there's the risk to your stomach. Of course, in a couple of decades, we're going to be seeing more data, more effects, more side effects as
for
well.
Sure.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think it's a phenomenal trade-off, you know, that people can lose major, major weight, you know. So I mean, I think it's a phenomenal, but it's a trade-off like anything. Sorry, Eugene.
No. I say kind of similar thought process. And I'm also like, we as humans are kind of instant gratification seekers.
Exactly.
Right. And I think, you know, we all know that with, you know, and no offense, Anna, but without even... your product, you know, if you really apply, and again, I'm talking about more on the, if you're overweight, so I'm not talking about, you know, clinical aspects of it.
Yeah.
If you apply lifestyle and behavior change, you know, we all know what can be done without either one. But we like the instant gratification. And I think, you know, people are seeing the results of, you know, their friends that, you know, lost significant weight. They feel better. They can walk. They can run. They can do things. One quick thing. I don't know if you're following, Sana, because like what we just thought about as you take Sigrid, you know, the spike prevention. So I don't know if you follow Jesse, Glucose Goddess.
On of course
Instagram.
We do. Yes.
And yeah, I'm sure you do, right? And it's like, to me, I'm just fascinated by some of these charts for the listeners.
We have the same. We have the same. Okay. We do exactly the same type of tests on bread and rice and burgers and everything. The CGM. Yeah, the cutting the spike. Yeah.
She's cool.
Yeah, it's fascinating, and on the
well, I think glucose is the new gluten. It's gone so mainstream.
Right.
Even if you're not diabetic, even if you're not pre-diabetic, it's been connected to so many things now.
I'm wearing
high glucose
levels
speaks.
Sweatshirt.
Like, oh, the levels.
You know, I was trying that early on, right? Like, you know, shout out to
Biohacker.
Josh and team. it's fascinating. Actually, that might be an interesting even. Partnership, because if you can get some of their people, and you know, so Josh, you know, shouting out.
So, so Sana, so I wanted to dig in for a second. Like, so you've been CEO for quite a few years now.
Yeah, 10 years, a decade.
Wow. And I probably met you 4 years ago, 5 years, something like that.
Yeah,
right?
I think so. We met in Lausanne. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Was,
so
5 years ago, I think.
So what I remember talking to you at the time, and you were talking, I think maybe you were trying to raise capital to support some of the studies, and you, I'm not sure where you were in the in our
I think you
development
advised me
cycle.
to put it into food. You said, just put it into bars, just put it into snacks. That's the
100%.
easiest way for people. I do remember that overlapping
Sounds like
line. I
Jim.
do remember you.
Sounds like,
Just make it easy for people. Yeah.
yeah. What we had someone on the podcast who never
Yeah.
underestimates people's slovenliness.
Yeah. And you also said, wait a second, you said, go to Bono. He invested in a similar company, you know, Bono Q2.
Oh, he
Remember?
did. Yeah, right. You're right. You're
Yeah.
the new
Yeah.
the company we had.
I can't
So,
remember.
yeah.
Yeah.
What's it called? What's the name of that company out of Ireland?
Oh, I can't
Another
remember.
dynamic
Yeah,
female
but yeah, they
founder.
had a, like a novel technology. Yeah, but I so yeah. Yeah. You made an impression.
Exactly. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. But the
Yeah.
Okay, one of the things I just been just kind of watching your development on online is like you're now it feels to me like you're now you've got through these clinical studies and now you're in launch mode, for lots of
Yes.
products. Is that true? Like, and then maybe tell us, give us a little bit of insight on the launch and how's it going?
No, it's we launched the glucose stabilizer in the United States in December,
Okay.
and we were amazed. We got picked up by Forbes and Daily Mail. This is all earned media.
Yep.
So sales really took off, and now we've converted to the subscription.
Okay.
So we see more and more people usually initially buy one, and then if they're happy with it, we have about 30% that convert to subscription.
Okay.
So they get the product monthly. And then we have the medical device. And the goal here is not to launch it ourselves, but to find a strategic partner to launch
Okay.
it in Europe and also as a medical food in the United States. And then we have our third arm, which is oral care. So the same enzymes you have in your gut, amylase you have in your mouth, and we have filed a patent to for a new particle that is able to capture this amylase in your mouth very, very fast,
Wow.
so that you can prevent caries from developing. And you can put this material into toothpaste or mouthwash, for example. And here the goal is as well to partner with the big oral care company, and we've done everything here except for animal studies. We've done in vitro. We have even done clinical studies with this Cypore fortified toothpaste. And the fourth arm we have is our veterinary business. So you would be surprised, but there are millions of obese dogs and cats, and cats can even develop type 2 diabetes.
Yeah.
So since our technology is so stable, it is thermally, chemically very stable. You could put this into cat food or dog food and help your furry friends to not become metabolically sick.
So you use Jim's advice for your vet
We did
channel.
for the
There you
veterinary
go.
business. We did, Jim.
And how, like, so, and how's your job? Like that, so that sounds like a lot. So you guys are you sound like you're up to a lot. How's your job changed in the last, like you're in a true execution mode? They need you now.
Yeah, listen, it's been a roller coaster, and but it's never been boring, and I think that's what's important. It's always been what's it called? Challenging, which means you have to step out of your comfort zone, which means you're growing. And I just love the fact that, you know, for many, many years we were an R&D company. We were really, you know, doing hardcore research, and we still do hardcore research, but we now also broadened ourselves to become a commercial company. And that's fantastic to, you know, wake up every day and get these reviews or emails by people who are so grateful for, you know, lowering their blood sugar, to helping them regulate their toilet habits because they have less bloating and so on. And I think, you know, I myself and also our researchers, we're so ecstatic to just see this consumer feedback after a decade of R&D.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
What do you say, Eugene?
I got a bazillion questions, but we also know that
Yeah.
people time fades off
Yeah.
after about 30 minutes. So
Exactly.
I do
That's
say
Eugene
that
generally.
we jump
You have to
into
invite me
is
again every
glucose.
year.
It's
Yeah.
the it's exactly. So we'll, I'll land it to Jim, his usual and famous question back to you.
Oh yeah, totally. Okay, so go in the way back machine, and we're just arriving. Picture yourself actually going forward, and you're delivering a lecture at your university in Sweden, and you're at your lecture, and a young dynamic founder that had just moved to Sweden and was coming to see your conference and was going to hear about Sanna and Sigrid's success. And there was patients in the audience that wanted to meet the founders of the company because they had lost so much weight. You could barely see them. and there was a young founder that said, actually, that was a friend of your son's and now was ready to start her own health technology company. So we're talking 20 years from now. And if you looked at that young founder, what's the one piece of advice you would give her as she started on her health tech company?
It's still always going to be the same. Never waste a crisis.
Love it. Jim, this is a perfect cut. Like, perfect cut. And I also loved your roller coaster, but never boring.
Yeah.
Never waste a crisis. Love it. Love it. I love it. What do we say, Eugene? You're always in crisis.
Over
and out.
Yeah, I'm Mr. Crisis.
I think just that, you know, life always just punches you in the face and you just got to punch back harder. That's it, right?
That's awesome.
That's the reality. So, but, you know, thanks for making time, Sanna. And actually, looked up, because for some reason, for some reason, I could have sworn that Sanna means something. And it means like brilliant or
light.
Radiant.
It means light in Arabic.
Okay. So I knew there was something
awesome,
you know, to put you on the pedestal. So there you go. But it was awesome. Re-meeting you, I guess. And for our millions of listeners and viewers, hit subscribe, pass it on, and see you next week.
Never waste a crisis.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Anna.
A pleasure.
Thanks, Anna. Congrats. Thank